Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Back into the drive. Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Carrington Harrison. To my right, it is the sports machine, Sean Levine. Directly in front of me is Rob Brenton. I want to play this for you very quickly because, like most exceptions, they get used and abused, and now you guys have ruined the park.
We've seen in a number of different areas that there has been significant congregation of folks. We haven't seen maintained social distancing, so the steps that we'll have there are closures of the dog parks, erection of more barriers at different parks, and we continue to take out, where possible, netting and other equipment, both at tennis courts and basketball courts. Again, the parks are open, but playgrounds, courts, playing surfaces, those types of things are closed right now.
I keep trying to tell you guys, if you don't want to listen to the scientists and the medical experts and them telling us what we should be doing, they're going to cancel summer and you're not going to have anybody to blame but yourself. Sports Machine is telling me he took his dog to the dog park and it was packed. It was 500 people at the park.
Well, I'd say there was 300 people, 200 dogs. And you don't want to be the guy that goes to the dog park or gal without a dog. Very, very creepy look. Like, you don't have a dog, probably should just go to the normal park. Actually, you probably shouldn't even do that right now because they're telling you not to.
I don't have any interest in going to places that I think there could be a lot of people. I'm not saying that exercise isn't important, that you got to just be cooped up in the house, but I don't want to go anywhere where I think there could be other people.
Do they really think taking down the nets on the basketball hoops is going to do something, though? I've played a lot of basketball on a lot of courts, and half of them didn't have a net. Or they had that chain link net that was like halfway on. Trust me, you can still hoop without a net. Tennis, not so much. Basketball, very much so.
I mean, in New York, they're just taking rims down. Like at Rucker Park, maybe the most famous basketball park in America. They just took the rims down at Rucker Park.
I'm not trying to be funny. You have to. You think if you left a rim up there and a backboard, that a bunch of people that are bored aren't going to get together with a basketball and do something that's free to get out of the house? You have to take it down, the whole thing. You ever played ping pong without a net? It's not nearly as fun.
You guys got the park shut down. Who knows what's coming next? All I can do is tell you to listen to the medical experts, listen to the scientists, and keep your hands clean and practice safe social distancing. Let's get to the hits, my friend.
Okay, now, from the beginning.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Check it out.
The top stories of the day, every day at 5 o'clock. The hits.
Cue it up.
One.
Now, hit number one is going to be a little bit different today. Rob, I apologize for taking your role of the hits over. But this is important information that everybody needs to hear. So, as you may have heard, Tiger King has become a pop culture phenomenon. And everybody's commenting on it.
Mm-hmm.
Even OJ Simpson has given us his Tiger King thoughts. Now, I didn't think I would be at a point in life where I would want to know what OJ Simpson thinks really about anything. But in the documentary, there is a debate on if one spouse killed the other spouse. If there's any person who is qualified to offer up their expertise opinion on such matters, it would be Orenthal James Simpson. So, in what might be the only time in the history of this show, the top story in Kansas City is what OJ Simpson thinks about Tiger King.
Hey, Twitter world, yours truly. I just got back from the golf course where I actually played pretty well. Now it's back at home, back to the couch, and back to television. Listen, I've had so many people on my case asking me to watch some show called Tiger King. Well, yesterday I watched this show, and oh my God, is America in this bad a shape? I watched about 6 episodes of this show, and I couldn't even believe what I was looking at. White people! What's with you and wild animals? Leave them animals alone. The show is crazy, but it's so crazy you kind of keep watching. One thing I will say, there's not a shred of doubt in my mind that that lady's husband is Tiger Tsushima right now. I'm just saying. Take care, and I hope you find something better to watch.
I'm not going to lie to you. It amuses me how much OJ is amused at himself. Like, the guy that can give you the quick chuckle at his own jokes, I do appreciate that from Orenthal James Simpson. The part where he says it was so crazy he couldn't see, or he couldn't stop watching it. You mean like your trial in which you were alleged to murder your wife and her lover? Like that? Crazy we couldn't turn away? Tiger King is like that? And, yeah, I do think that Carol Baskin turned her husband into kibbles and bits.
You know what they say about the tiger pit? Once you get bit, you must acquit. That wasn't what I would call a, what'd you call it, a cackle that he just did at the end there? That was like,
hey, Twitter world, that, yours truly. That, OJ says yours truly like we don't know who he is. Like, OJ, you're pretty recognizable. You don't have to start everything off with yours truly. Just start talking.
You also don't need to give us your last name. There are certain people that we know who you are based on your voice or just your name. OJ. Oh, OJ Simpson.
You're right. Oh, okay. That's fair. No, you're right.
Okay.
I can't argue that.
And most of the points that he was making are actually not that far off when it comes to O.J. Simpson, except for when he talks about there's no white people. Didn't Shaq go buy those tigers?
Shaq did have a tiger.
So, and I think Shaq had multiple tigers. Something tells me that if you're a big brother like Shaq and you got a big bank account like Shaq, you're not just going to buy one tiger and put it in the backyard. I'm not saying he had as many as Doc Anto or Carol Baskin or Joe Exotic himself. But I'm telling you this right now, Shaquille O'Neal had at least three tigers in his backyard. Two.
Earlier on the show, we asked about the biggest what-ifs in sports. If Devon Dotson goes pro, I think a lot of Jayhawks fans will look at his career like a what-if since the way this tournament didn't happen this year. Here's what Bill Self thinks about his legacy.
Well, I think toughness, and he's a winner. Hey, Devon Dotson, I mean, he was highly recruited. Don't get me wrong when we recruited him. I mean, he was McDonald's All-American. He was highly recruited. But people did project him to be a one-and-done guy. And last year he had a very good freshman year. It was solid. But there were some things he still had to do to tighten some things up. And he worked really hard. And he's an unbelievable competitor. He liked it when it counted the most and when it was the hardest. I always respect him for that and everything. But to your point, it's a little bit incomplete.
So he had a good freshman year, but early exit in the tournament, and then a sensational sophomore year, but no tournament at all to speak of. What is the legacy of Devon Dotson?
Dotson's very weird in this case that I don't consider myself to be a Kansas historian by any means. But aside from Joel Embiid, I can't really think in recent memory of a player's career who seems as incomplete as Devon Dotson. Now, for a very different reason than Joel Embiid's, but Devon Dotson had a chance to be a guy who had his name up there. If you play 2 years at Kansas, you're on first team Big 12 in both of those years. You are consensus All-American, and you can guide Kansas to a Final Four or a national championship, and you're a lottery pick like I think Dotson has a chance to be. You're a guy that has a strong consideration to being up there. If they're going to put Marcus Morris on the board, then Devon Dotson certainly should have had one. Udoka and Devon Dotson, their stories, I'm going to be really curious to see how Kansas fans tell it years from now because it just ended so abruptly and their stories are so incomplete based on what happened.
Marcus was around for 3 years, though, and I get it. He's very much on the fringe. If you're going to retire his jersey, that really opens up a can of worms. But I doubt Andrew Wiggins' name ever gets up there, or Ben McLemore. Talk about guys that only stuck around for one season. And I get it. Devon Dotson technically was there for two. But the fact that we didn't get to see how far he took his team in the NCAA tournament, I am a KU historian. I'm as much of a KU fan as you're ever going to meet. And the truth is, we're not going to talk about Devon Dotson the same way we did Frank Mason or Devontae Graham or Kirk Heinrich or some of the other quote-unquote great KU guards. And a lot of that is because we got to see how it finished. Now, in the case of most of those guys, except for Sherron Collins and Russell Robinson and Mario Chalmers, when you're talking about KU guards under Bill Self, none of them have won a national championship. A lot of them have been more like a Tyshawn Taylor type of player. That's how I think people are going to remember Devon Dotson. Really good player, but unfortunately, we never got to see the run he was going to make in March. 3.
Last night on the SVP show, Adam Schefter was triggered by the NFL having his draft as scheduled.
We all want to see the days where we have that distraction of football, but OTAs, that's not happening. Yeah. The offseason program, that's not happening. The draft is happening only through the sheer force and determination and lack of foresight from Phil Franklin. I mean, they are determined to put this on while there is carnage in the streets.
I don't know what the NFL should have done, but they're in the off season. The NBA canceled its season. They canceled its season. They were in season. The NFL wasn't. How was the NFL supposed to handle a pandemic in its off season?
I think the NFL is in between a rock and a hard place when it comes to this. And I sympathize with the NFL from this standpoint. If they push everything back, some people complain because we don't have the quote necessary and needed distraction during these times. And I do want to point out that the players had a vote when it came to if they were going to continue with free agency, and the players were all for it. So obviously the teams and the businesses were all for it. So business conducted as possible. The NFL draft, I do think, is going to be popular and the ratings are going to be up, and it might be a different draft based on the lack of access that you have. But I do think a lot of people are going to watch it. So where's the balance between you providing that necessary distraction and providing entertainment and being respectful of the times? I don't really think there's a right and correct answer for the NFL. So I do sympathize with their situation.
When we were down in Miami, Adam Schefter was sitting right in front of us, and he's much shorter than I expected. I haven't been that surprised somebody was that short since I stood next to Chase Daniel or the Honey Badger. He's pretty short also, but I digress. The draft has to go on. Think about, and it's going to be inconvenient. There's no question about that. All of our lives have been inconvenient. We've had to drop things and change plans and wedding dates and travel and a lot of stuff. It's going to be inconvenient for the NFL. But you know what's much more inconvenient? Playing the games, traveling, getting thousands of people together, making sure all the players have been tested. We're talking about something virtual. The same way that we do our fantasy football drafts once a year on ESPN.com, it's basically the same thing. Again, are the teams going to get a chance to vet the players the same way they usually would like to? No. Is it going to be inconvenient? You can't bring them in right before the draft and meet with them face-to-face? Yes, but come on. All of our lives have been inconvenienced. If you can do it, you should do it. And I absolutely think the NFL should go on with the draft.
That concludes the hits for today. I found some pretty interesting information to share with you guys that is kind of sports life related based on what's been happening with the coronavirus. So Nielsen is reporting over the first 3 weeks of March 2020, the estimated number of minutes streamed to the television are 40 billion minutes. That is up 85% compared to the same time frame last week. And that's just television. So that doesn't count streaming on your computer. That doesn't count your tablets, or it doesn't count your phone. Over the first 3 weeks of March, 400 billion streams minutes when it came to televisions. Netflix is up 29% comparable to the same 3 year period or 3 week period of last year. Obviously, some of that is the coronavirus. Some of that is Tiger King. And it's just a popular show that people tend to gravitate towards it. YouTube is up 30% during the first 3 weeks of March. Hulu is up 10%. Disney Plus is up 31% compared to the first 3 weeks of their service. I've been really interested from how people have been consuming media, and it does make a little bit of sense. So television numbers way up. Makes a lot of sense. People are home for longer. They have the inventory now with no sports to watch more movies, television shows. I know I have. So my Netflix usership is up based on what it is over a normal time. And I don't work from home the way a lot of you do as well. It's also been interesting to see when it comes to like our form and music. Music's down 20%. Podcast is down 20%. It makes a lot of sense to me. People aren't on the go. People aren't as mobile as they normally are. So music and people that are things like, I assume a lot of people are listening to our show. Majority of them only listen when they're in the car. That's perfectly fine. You're in the car for 15 minutes. You don't really care too much about the podcast. If there's a big interview, you'll go back and listen to it. But if you're in your car, you'll listen. If you're not in your car, you won't listen. So it has been kind of interesting to see what forms of medium, what things are up due to the coronavirus. And it makes a lot of sense that more people are staying home and watching television because they're home more. We've also seen that things are down when it comes to media. Podcast and music are down 10 to 20% because people aren't commuting as much as they normally are.
Yeah. So obviously, I mean, you listen to music in your car, you listen to our show in your car. So you can expect the ratings not to be as high as they might be otherwise. And then certain things that when you're stuck at home, again, thank you, Captain Obvious, the numbers are going to go up. For example, adult websites in the last 3 weeks are reporting a 6,000% increase. Not a 600% increase, a 6,000% increase. People are bored. They've got time. They're stuck at home. They got nothing to do. They've got a laptop. The same reason they're watching those sites is the same reason they're watching the network streaming sites and all of that. There's not a lot of other things to do right now.
No, there certainly isn't. And alcohol sales, as you can imagine, are up too. So through the same time frame, alcohol sales are up 55% this week compared to last year at this same time. Wine sales are up 66%. Beer sales are up 42%. Online alcohol sales are up 243% compared to the exact same time frame last year. So we're starting to see the effects of it when it comes to television being up, music being down, and alcohol sales. If you're going to be stuck in the house, I certainly understand you wanting an adult cocktail.
Well, yeah, I don't know about you, but when I was watching Tiger King, I was sipping on a natural light. I absolutely think it makes sense why the numbers are up. Speaking of up, Rob, fire me up some beats. Let's play a quick game. When it comes to drinking, you mentioned how up the numbers are right now. So, CDOT, if your goal is just to, I don't know, get drunk as fast as possible, what's
the
go-to drink?
That seems like a very terrible idea to do. That seems like a very terrible idea to do. A vodka in this sense?
Okay, yeah, that'd probably be my go-to also. What if you're just trying to drink the most of said drink? What's your go-to?
Probably Boulevard Wheat.
Mine's, once again, natural light. What if you're trying to look cool? You're at the bar. You're at, well, remember what the bar used to be like? Remember we could go out?
I do remember that.
Be with other people and leave tips and all that. You're at Firefly. This is a month and a half ago. You're just trying to look cool. What's the drink you got in your hand?
I would still have a Boulevard Wheat.
I think I'm going to have a... Rob, what's your I want to look like a cool guy drink?
Old fashioned. I like an old fashioned. It looks cool.
Yeah. Does a tequila sunrise look cool or look weak? I mean, it looks cool in the drink, like in the glass. It's a cool looking drink. It's a little foo-foo, though. I'll give you that. Let's see. What about my goal tonight is just to forget tonight. As blackout as I can possibly get. What's your go-to drink?
I haven't done that in such a long time. That's just not really my thing. Like, we too old to be doing that, bro.
Tequila is the correct answer to that question. Give me a couple of shots of tequila.
Jumbo margaritas.
It's good night for this guy. How about the drink that you'll never
it
try?
Sounds like we're a mosaic.
What's a drink that you'll never try again that you've completely sworn off?
It's disgusting. Absolutely disgusting.
Yo, Fireball's.
Fireball's amazing.
No, Fireball's terrible.
I mean, that's how I imagine Listerine taste if you actually swallowed it.
Rob, is there a drink you'll never try again?
Rumplemans. Rumplemans taste like Listerine.
I thought Rumplemans were great the first several times I had them. Then there was that one time when it went down the wrong pipe. Everybody's ever taken a shot knows what I'm talking about. And now I can't even be in the room with the stuff. I got one more for you. Do you remember what your first drink was? Of course, you know, on your 21st birthday, probably. Maybe a little bit thereafter. You can't drink if you're not 21, C-Dot.
A Budweiser? My uncle was a really big Budweiser drinker.
Budweiser. Just a Bud Heavy?
Yeah, he's kind of switched over now. He's a big Modelo and Corona person now.
Oh.
But yeah, growing up, he was a big Budweiser guy.
Is he currently a Corona person? Let's hope not.
I don't know. I haven't seen him. I've been practicing social distancing.
That's good. That's very good. Rob, first drink?
Bud Select. 21-year-old Rob wanted to have a lot of light beer, so he got the lightest.
21. Your old me had several wine coolers. You guys ever had wine coolers?
I have had a wine cooler.
They taste great. The problem is nobody told me that they get you real drunk and you probably should pace yourself a little bit. And needless to say, vomited said wine coolers on my best friend's carpet, and the vomit stain's still there to this day. We talk about it every time he comes home from Myrtle Beach. That's it. Alcohol sales up 260%. Lots of people drinking. Just curious your guys' thoughts on booze.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll go inside the mind of the machine. A couple news and notes I want to pass to you guys in the NFL. So the Titans general manager, John Robertson, said that they have been in contact with Logan Ryan. He's a corner that you would love for the Chiefs to pick up. And Jadeveon Clowney is someone that else that the Titans have had contact with. Clowney, to me, we've had this conversation, but that big money's gone if you're Jadeveon Clowney. The best thing for you to do is to sign a 1-year deal on a good team, go out there and ball out. I can't really think of, and maybe I've just missed somebody and I'm wrong. Text line, help me out here. Since Chris Harris, Robbie Anderson, have we seen anybody sign longer than a 2-year deal? We saw those big deals the first 3 days of free agency. The next week, we saw a little bit of a trickle-down effect where we saw a couple of guys get a couple of multi-year deals. I feel like the last 20 to 25 free agent deals have all been either 1-year or 2-year deals. So I don't think it's realistic now to think at this much time has passed, as teams are really starting to get ready for the draft, as the draft is less than a month away, that Clowney's going to get that big 3-year deal, or that Bashaud Breeland's going to get that big year deal, or Logan Ryan's going to get that deal. If I had to imagine all of those guys sign 1-year contracts, and it's basically when do you decide to do it? If you're a Clowney, do you do it before the draft? Do you do it after the draft? Or do you wait to kind of see how the market's going to shape out and how the season plays out, and then you sign it closer to training camp? Clowney's in a very weird spot now.
Clowney's overrated. That's a problem with Jadeveon Clowney. Clowney's looked the part. He was the part at South Carolina. He was the number one overall pick. He looks really good in the uniform. He put up okay numbers when he played opposite J.J. Watt. But if we're just talking about Seattle and last year, if they could have had Jadeveon Clowney, which they did, or if they could have kept Frank Clark, Frank Clark's a much bigger impact player when it comes to actually what he does on the field compared to Jadeveon Clowney. Rob, bring up the stats because you know I can't type and talk at the same time. How many career sacks does this guy have? He doesn't really get to the quarterback, and that's his specialty, talking about Jadeveon Clowney, and this guy's been in the league now for quite a long time. That's his problem. He thinks he's like an $18, $20 million guy, a Frank Clark type of player. I hate to tell you, man, you might be worth half that based on your actual production.
Yeah, I mean, the number that he asked for, I saw a story today, he has lowered his number to now $16 to $18 million. Clowney, if you think you're getting that in this economy, then you're absolutely crazy. You're just not playing football next season. Like, if you're not going to come off that number, then Clowney's not going to be in the league next year. He had 3 sacks this year, 9 sacks 2 years ago, 9.5 sacks 3 years ago. I'm with you. Clowney's not an elite-level pass rusher.
He's never had a double-digit sack season his entire career, and we're not talking about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This will be year 7, and you're yet to have a double-digit sack season, and it's not like you're one of those guys that records a lot of tackles. He's also never had a 60-tackle season. So Jadeveon Clowney's never had a season where he's had 60 tackles or 10 sacks, and he thinks he's going to get a long-term $20 million a year deal? Something's not adding up here, man.
If Clowney's willing to humble himself, I wouldn't mind him in Kansas City.
Or he'd really have to humble himself to come here.
I'm just saying, because he has to humble himself to go anywhere. He's not getting $16 or $18 million from any team in the NFL. It doesn't matter what team you're going for. So the realistic number is, and maybe he's not trying to listen to it, and that's perfectly fine. You can continue to be unemployed. You can either not play football this season and be steadfast on your number, or you're going to have to come down substantially. If he thinks he's getting 16 or 18 per,
crazy.
That's
he's
gone.
Crazy.
That's gone. And you're probably never going to get that anyway, not even in a healthy year. That money's gone now. So you can either sign in a 1-year good situation with the team, or just continue to wait it out and then see what happens and see how the league year concludes itself. But that big money is gone. I could be wrong. Text line 69306. I'm trying to think of, over the last 2 weeks, who's even signed a 3-year contract. I don't think that person exists. We saw the guys that got the lottery tickets in the very beginning get paid, and now we're seeing guys sign these kind of deals. So Clowney's just got to be realistic with himself about the market. A team like Tennessee would make a little bit of sense. They got a lot of free agent cap space. They got a defensive-minded coach. They got a good, strong defense with good defensive line parts. Like, they would make a lot of sense. But if you're Clowney, you got to show you're productive. You got to show you can stay healthy. Signing a 1-year, $10 million fully guaranteed deal, that might be what you end up doing.
They'd be really good too. If Tennessee got Clowney and re-signed Logan Ryan, we know they got Ryan Tannehill last year. AJ Brown was really good as a rookie wide receiver. They re-signed, or I should say they franchise tagged Derrick Henry. That might be the third best team in the AFC if we're calling the Chiefs 1 and Baltimore 2. I just think that Jadeveon Clowney's problem is that he wants a long-term deal for $18, $20 million. He's maybe worth half that, 10 or 12. And don't get it twisted. There will be a bunch of teams that are willing to pay Jadeveon Clowney $10 or $12 million for 1 year. The problem is, he's had to take one of those deals.
I'd be really curious to see what Tennessee looks like this year. If I had to guess right now, I don't think Tennessee makes the playoff, not
really,
based on their roster right now. They seem like prime regression to the mean. I mean, last year, Ryan Tannehill, I just don't think that's real Ryan Tannehill. And of all the players in the NFL that seem like, all right, that wasn't real last year, Ryan Tannehill, he completed 70% of his passes. He had the highest passer rating in the NFL. I'll bet whatever number you want this season that Ryan Tannehill does not have the higher passer rating in the NFL once the season concludes itself. So we saw what, at his absolute peak, Ryan Tannehill can be. What does just good Ryan Tannehill look like? I don't know. I don't think we've ever seen that before. And there's just no way that Derrick Henry is going to be as dominant as he was the last 8-9 games of the season. So if he's not going to be as dominant as he was down the stretch and Tannehill's not going to be as good, what does that team look like? If you had to ask me right now, a team I feel very strongly isn't going to make the playoffs that made it last year, Tennessee's probably number one on my list.
I'm surprised to hear you say that just because you always talk about everybody doesn't get a Patrick Mahomes or Deshaun Watson. So if you've got a good quarterback, you got to be happy. And you always bring up Dak Prescott when you talk about that. And I'm not suggesting that Ryan Tannehill is a good quarterback, but he's good enough. If you're not going to have one of those top tier guys, I actually think Ryan Tannehill is a top 10 quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, I think you're crazy if you got Tannehill that high up. And I mean, none of us thought this when he was on Miami. None of us thought that Tannehill.
Well, he didn't play like it.
I know what I'm saying is, and then he played really well for 10 games that you're always on the, let's wait and see, and let's see a little bit more. Man, Tannehill finessed 10 games, and then when the games got really important, Tennessee looked like a team that wanted absolutely nothing to do with their quarterback and hid their quarterback the entire time. Man, you can't do that for a 16-game season. The NFL always figures it out, and you're not going to be able to lean on a guy who gets 35 carries for 200 yards. So once there's more of a responsibility on Tannehill, like some of the numbers are just unreal. He had a 9.6 yard per attempt. 9.6 yard per attempt last year.
The craziest number with Tannehill is his contract. He got $90 million for playing 2.5 months of good football. That's called the Chase Daniel plan.
Yeah, so I mean, top 10 for Ryan Tannehill was way too high in my mind when it comes to where he's at as a quarterback. We'll see what happens, but if I had to guess right now, I do not think Tennessee makes the playoffs next year. Coming up, we'll go inside the mind of the machine, and something really cool is going to happen this weekend. We'll tell you what it is coming up. It's
The Drive. The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
Back in on The Drive, coming up in about 10 minutes, we will go inside the mind of the machine. We've seen a lot of cool, innovative ideas of people trying to create content amidst the COVID-19. Maybe the best idea I've seen is, did you see that LeVar Burton is going to be reading books on Twitter?
Really?
Butterfly in the sky.
Reading Rainbow is one of those shows. Reading Rainbow is one of those shows. Everybody likes Reading Rainbow. You have never met a human being that does not love and appreciate Reading Rainbow. It's a lot like 60 Minutes to me. Maybe I'm the only one that this happens to, but during football season and I watch 60 Minutes, I'm thinking, man, this is a really good show. Why don't I watch this show more often? And then football ends and I never watch it, so I get reintroduced to 60 Minutes every year. It's a great news program. Reading Rainbow is the exact same thing. There's not a person listening right now that grew up like, that Reading Rainbow show, it was kind of boring. I don't like that show. This might be the only show that has 100% approval rating.
No, I think there's actually a lot of these type of shows that have pretty close to 100% approval rating. Have you ever met somebody that says, you know, I didn't like Lamb Chops? You ever met that person?
I wasn't a big Lamb Chop person.
You're that guy?
I wasn't a huge Lamb Chop person.
Well, you're just weird. Have you ever met somebody that didn't like Mr. Rogers?
I'm also that kid.
No, you're not.
I didn't really like Mr. Rogers.
What was your problem with Mr. Rogers? He was a great human being.
I mean, he was super nice, but I always was ready for him to get off the screen and then just go to the magical land. It was way too much him talking. Like, I wasn't interested in him putting on his shoes. That was Mr. Rogers is the worst part about Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. whenever he leaves his neighborhood, the show got good.
No, the worst part is that creepy little cat thing, or what was her name? Lady Adelaide? Is that somebody? Yeah, you're right. That show got a little bit
Mr.
creepy.
Rogers is the worst part about Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. It also got me thinking that PBS in its prime had some hits. Think about it. Sesame Street, Arthur, Reading Rainbow, Magic School Bus, Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego, The Electric Company used to come on PBS. If we're talking of top television channels of all time, we're not giving nearly enough credit and respect to PBS. People are throwing out HBO and Netflix and all these channels. OG, I'm talking like 85 to 95 PBS, an iconic run of television shows.
Ken Burns Baseball. Let's see, they did.
Your guy Bob Ross is on there too.
Bob Ross
is on there too.
Masterpiece Theater, that every year they'd have the telethon. Who doesn't like PBS?
I'm saying PBS all time, and then they always made you feel very special when they said it was brought to you and presented by viewers like you.
Like me?
I was like, I had a part. I am a part of this.
Viewers like me?
I'm a part of this. I always really appreciated that. And some of you guys don't remember this show. PBS used to have this show called Ghost Rider on there.
Yes.
Incredible show. I love Ghost Rider. I still watch Ghost Rider sometimes on YouTube.
Okay, well, that's weird. But why didn't wasn't Ghost Rider. I feel like if you were watching Reading Rainbow in fourth or fifth grade with LeVar Burton and your teacher wheeled in that old box TV like my teacher did, then you were probably also watching that, right? Like, I feel like it was kind of the same thing with Ghost Rider. We saw Ghost Rider in class. I don't know about you. Maybe just a Blue Valley thing in the late 80s, early 90s. We absolutely watched Ghost Rider in school.
Texan is talking about, don't forget, Wishbone. Wishbone would give you those recreations of all those classic stories. Yeah, PBS in its heyday is up there with some of the all-time greats. We were talking about TGIF and all the great shows that they used to have. We don't give nearly enough credit and respect to PBS. PBS is all time.
I feel like Nickelodeon and Disney Channel and even TGIF to some extent had a lot more flops, had a lot of shows that tried and failed. And I'm sure PBS had their share also. But you're talking about some of the classics. You're talking Sesame Street. You're talking Lamb Chops. You're talking Mr. Rogers.
Barney was on there too.
Barney?
Barney and Teletubbies was on there too.
Actually, I didn't like Teletubbies.
I mean, I was at that point, we were way too old for Teletubbies, but nobody can deny that Teletubbies was a hit show.
Yeah, but have you ever seen Blippi?
I've heard of it.
That's like the thing for kids today. My buddy's got a son that's 2.5, so we get stuck watching Blippi. I'm sure there are a lot of parents out there listening right now that absolutely despise the name Blippi, and I'm one of those people. That's how I felt about the Teletubbies. Like, all these other ones are relatively entertaining. As an adult, if you go back and watch Sesame Street with your niece and nephew or child, it's mildly entertaining. I thought Captain Kangaroo was mildly entertaining. School of Rock as an adult is still okay. I'm good on Barney, though, and some of those other ones. They just don't hold the test of time.
Coming up in a little bit, we'll go inside the mind of the machine. So, LeVar Burton, I want to know why he wasn't doing this all the time. So, he's going to go on Twitter and he's going to read books from his account. He's going to read some fairy tales to kids. One fairy tale that we've spread is Michael Jordan. I'm not saying Michael Jordan wasn't a great basketball player. Obviously, he was a great basketball player. But ESPN, because they're trying to create content like all of us are trying to do, they did a bracket of the greatest college basketball players of all time. Michael Jordan won their competition. Now, if they were just doing basketball players of all time, yeah, Mike might win that. Michael Jordan was not the greatest college basketball player of all time. And Jay Billis, who might be the most respected sport in the game, should be embarrassed for arguing this.
I would still side here just slightly with Michael Jordan, that Jordan in his 3 years at North Carolina, for two straight years, he was National Player of the Year in 1983 and then 1984. He was on the number one team. North Carolina was dominant throughout his time with the Tar Heels. And even though they only won the championship in 1982 when he was a freshman hitting that iconic shot, I would side just slightly with Michael Jordan.
So the Final Four, when it came to greatest college basketball players of all time, Magic Johnson, Shaq, Larry Bird, and Michael Jordan. If we do first team all ACC, does Michael Jordan make that? He wasn't a better college basketball player than Christian Laettner. Now, yes, obviously he had a much better NBA career and pro career than Christian Laettner. If we just talk in college buckets, Laettner was a better player than Michael Jordan. The winner of this should have been Lou Alcindor. It should have been Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He's the greatest college basketball player of all time. Now, I know we try to water down those UCLA years, and it certainly makes sense. They had the NCAA tournament where it was 9 teams, and one team kept winning. So I'm not saying it was the same. But if you go 88-2 in your college basketball career and you average 25-17 the 3 years you're in school, you're the greatest college basketball player. They had to eliminate the dunk while he was there because he was just dunking on everybody. Lou Alcindor, number one, he should have won this. For him not to even be in the Final Four when it comes to greatest college basketball players is downright embarrassing.
You ever heard of Tyrell Reed?
I have heard of Tyrell Reed.
You don't think he's in the conversation?
I don't think he makes honorable mention Kansas' all-time team.
Jordan wasn't even one of the best college players at Carolina. I mean, was he? At the time he was, obviously, but was he a better college player than Anton Jameson? Look at the numbers. Anton Jameson was much better in college. Was he a better college player than Tyler Hansborough? Look at the numbers. Tyler Hansborough dwarfed what Jordan did in college. So if we're just talking about college, I think Jordan's become a bit of a mythical figure. If we're just talking about the best basketball player of all time, hands down, end of argument, it's Michael Jordan. But I can tell you this. There was a 4-year period where I was able to see with my own two eyes three college basketball players that were all better than Michael Jordan, and they all played in the Big 12. Michael Beasley, Kevin Durant, and Blake Griffin were all better college basketball players than Michael Jordan.
I don't want to disrespect the career that college that Michael Jordan had. They won a championship his freshman year. He hit the big shot. He won consensus national player of the year, was a first-team All-American 2 years, and won ACC player of the year. So we're talking accomplishments. Jordan is certainly worthy of being on this list and certainly one of the all-time greats. But if we're putting him at number one here, let's calm down. Michael, if you want to, again, you want to do an NBA contest and he's the greatest NBA player of all time, sure, have at it. But if we're talking college basketball, this is where I feel like with Jordan, where we fall over ourselves to call him the GOAT, that we just don't want to have an honest conversation about Michael Jordan. He wasn't this great mythical creature that was the greatest college. He wasn't even the number one overall pick when he was picked. So let's calm down a little bit on Mike as being the all-time great college player and the greatest college player of all time.
He wasn't Carmelo Anthony. There's like probably 10 or 15 guys that come to mind ahead of Michael Jordan. And the difference between those guys and Jordan wasn't a one and done. Could Jordan have been a one and done? Hell yeah, Jordan could have been a one and done. Could he have put up the same numbers that Kevin Durant or Michael Beasley did in the 1 year that they played? I doubt it. Michael Beasley had 30 double-doubles. He had five games where he scored over 40 points. He averaged almost 27 points and 14 rebounds. Jordan was great. I'm just talking about in college. He wasn't Michael Beasley. He wasn't Kevin Durant.
So before we sign out of here, let's go inside the mind of the machine.
Let's get back to Michael Jordan for a second. That Bulls documentary is going to come out. Can any athlete's career highlight package come even close to that of Michael Jordan?
Not even close. Not even close when it comes to like iconic moments and things that they've done. Like, it's not that Jordan's is the most visually appealing. Like, I can show you players that have a more visually appealing. He just has moments that no other athlete has. He has a shot over Elo. He has the layup in his first NBA Finals against the Lakers. He has a shrug against the Portland Trailblazers, the last shot. Like, I could tell you, like, we could do a Jordan's memory bracket and nine different things could win. The dunk on Ewing. Like, I don't think anyone's going to be able to match those when it comes to Jordan. We're just talking, like, visually appealing. I can show you better eight-minute YouTube tapes.
If we're talking just a highlight package, what about Barry Sanders?
No, I don't think anyone can match his. Just, you're not supposed to make NFL players look like that.
What about,
like,
LeBron?
What do you mean?
Just talk about his highlights. LeBron's got a hell of a highlight package, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mike Tyson, Larry Bird, Deion Sanders. But you're right, it's probably Jordan. This morning we had a meeting via the Zoom app. I thought it was amazing. What'd you think about that?
I actually used it yesterday for the first time. It's pretty cool. I mean, I think it's obviously much better to meet in person if you can. I don't know if it's a really good, like, meeting app, but I think it's, like, really cool to talk to a large group of your friends at one time. Like, I can't really see, like, trying to conduct real serious business on that thing.
Why? What do you think a lot of people are doing right now? There's a lot of businesses that are using that right now to conduct very serious business. I thought it was great. If you haven't used it before, the way that it kind of works is whoever's talking, it brings your face up, and it was real clear. Like, I was really impressed. But the question is, what's the most underrated app that you use? An app that you're fond of that maybe not a lot of people know about.
There's this app called Pocket, which is a reading app where you can put a bunch of links to stories. So what I normally do is I normally like a lot of stories on Twitter before I get on the plane. And then when I go on the plane, I don't have to use Wi-Fi. And then I can read all of those stories at one time. The Pocket app.
The Pocket app
is the name of it.
What do you know about the SleepBot app?
Never heard of that before.
It's badass. It monitors as much as you toss and turn in the middle of the night, and then it's got a gradual alarm. I don't know why all alarm clocks aren't gradual. It's just This one's great. It wakes you up real calmly like your mama used to.
You put that on your watch?
I don't know. I don't have a smart watch.
Oh.
I got it on my phone.
I'm just trying to wonder how. So you lay it in the bed with you?
I'm just trying to
figure out if it works. If it's not, you're not wearing it. I'm not trying to be funny. I don't understand how it works if you're not wearing that.
Do you know? Oh, well, that's a great question. It's a hell of a good question, but it works.
Because, I mean, if you wear an Apple Watch or you wear a Fitbit, I would understand, but...
I thought you meant the alarm. I was like, you don't use your alarm. You were asking about the sleep thing. That makes a lot of sense. I don't know how the hell it works. Earlier today, you said you think that Mike Tyson might be the most overrated of athlete of all time.
There's no might.
You said that an hour and 14 minutes ago.
There's no might. He is.
Would you take that back? I guess not.
There's no might. Mike Tyson is the most overrated athlete of our generation. I can't speak for past generations. I can only speak for the ones that I've seen. And Mike's the most overrated. And I don't really think it's arguable of who second is.
I don't know. Like, I love Bo Jackson, but I think he might have been a little bit overrated.
I mean,
Ronda Rousey might have been a little bit overrated.
But I don't think – I don't know many people that genuinely believed in Ronda like that. Like, maybe I'm just wrong. I don't watch UFC. But the Ronda thing just always seemed like a Dana White creation. Like
Joe Namath. He threw more interceptions than he did touchdowns. He had one guarantee. We pretend like he's a great quarterback. He's not.
I never watched Joe Namath play, though. So, like, I remember you're saying, like, just evaluating Joe Namath in 1970 NFL, like, I just feel like it's kind of hard to do. I just felt like Ronda Rousey was always a Dana White creation. Like, say what you want about Dana White. He is Vince McMahon-like in his ability to create stars. That's what he turned Ronda Rousey into. He turned Ronda Rousey into a star. At one point, she was on Sports Illustrated as the most dangerous athlete in the world. And nobody could name anybody that she beat.
Like, Danica Patrick is the most overrated. Now, like, we're talking female athletes, it's probably Danica Patrick. She never did anything.
Or Troy Aikman.
He was overrated,
too. Troy Aikman's wildly overrated.
Troy Aikman is NFL Ken Dorsey.
Troy Aikman's probably the worst Hall of Fame quarterback in the Hall of Fame. Look at his numbers.
You think he's worse than Namath? You just said you hated Namath.
Is Namath in the Hall of Fame?
He is in the Hall of Fame.
I don't know what the hell he's doing in the Hall of Fame. Speaking of Dana White.
I mean, he's one of the most important people in NFL history.
No, I'm not arguing that. I mean, when it comes to the figure that he was and all that, but if we're just talking about overrated, he was definitely that. He had 177 touchdowns and 230 interceptions. It wasn't even close.
I wonder how much we can do that with that era, because I mean, if we're just going to do that, then Terry Bradshaw wasn't that good, too. And I think Bradshaw's overrated, but we also just got to factor in like the time frame of it, too, which I think is like really difficult for us, because I just can't really imagine the NFL during that time with the rules.
Would we call Dana White a friend of the show?
No, you got to come on at least 3 times.
Oh, he's only been on once. So Chael Sonnen's not a friend of the show either.
No, you got to come on 3 times to be friend of the show. That's the rule.
Well, it looks like the Khabib versus Tony fight is off. I know you don't care, but it was supposed to happen at UFC 249. This is the 5th time that Khabib was supposed to fight this guy. 2 times Khabib got hurt. 2 times Tony Ferguson got hurt, including tripping over a cord at the press conference before the fight. And now the coronavirus is going to stop this thing. It's just not meant to happen. What else I got for you? Oh, Tiger and Phil is also on hold right now. It's supposed to be that one-on-one golf matchup. If we're talking one-on-one.
They just were talking about it yesterday. It's already on hold?
It is on hold. They put it on hold.
Oh, wow. I missed this.
If we're talking.
I was just literally reading yesterday that they were talking about having Peyton and Tom Brady do it. Now they don't want to do it anymore.
I'm literally telling you right now it's on hold.
Oh, wow. Okay. But I just hadn't seen that. My bad.
But if we're talking one-on-one, who wins this game? How about in their prime, Larry Bird versus Kevin Durant?
Durant, probably.
I'm going to take Bird. Rob, you got the tiebreaker.
Durant is 7 feet tall and has a handle. It's Durant.
Larry Bird has a handle, too, and he was like 6'9". Both unbelievable shooters. They both shot like 90% from the free throw line. How about Barkley versus Zion?
I mean, I'm going to pick all the modern-day athletes in this one. Like, I mean, Barkley's never seen anybody athletically like Zion Williamson. Like, not even close. Like, the most athletic person you probably saw during this time frame was, what, Jordan or Dominique Wilkins? Maybe, like, Zion might be the most athletic 21-year-old we've ever seen. I've never seen anything like him.
No question about it. I just hope he's able to stay healthy. We were talking about Greg Oden earlier in the show.
Like, I was just thinking about, like LeBron James and how athletic he is. Like,
LeBron James?
Like, Zion's more athletic than LeBron was during that time frame.
Ooh, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. I think LeBron's probably the most athletic basketball. LeBron might be the most athletic athlete ever, period.
I think Zion's more
athletic. John Jones.
I think Zion's more athletic than he is. I'm not saying he's nearly as skilled, but we're just talking like jumping ability defensively and all that kind of stuff. I've never seen anything like Zion before. When you factor in his height, his weight, his speed, like the stuff he can do, I've never seen anything like it.
It is crazy that somebody that's that big can move that way. Although, can he move that way? Because he's broken down on many an occasion. Let's see what else do I got here for you. Talked about that. Oh, here we go. A Football Life is going to have 48 straight hours on NFL Network, and on Saturday, they're going to have the Football Life replay of Tony Gonzalez. How are you going to remember the Football Life of Tony Gonzalez?
I think Tony Gonzalez is the second best tight end to ever play behind Rob Gronkowski. I remember him from just being an incredibly durable player. and one that was able to overcome situation. He never really played with a great quarterback. Like, we typically see those kind of pass catchers in every generation. Like, I would say DeAndre Hopkins was that way for a very long time. Andre Johnson was a very similar player. Like, Tony Gonzalez rarely played with even Pro Bowl caliber players, yet always put up consistent numbers and stayed healthy. From like 99 until 2011, he was a consistent on the field. He was going to have 80 yards, maybe catch a touchdown. Yeah, he's probably the most reliable tight end of all time, the most consistent tight end of all time. We're talking at their peak. The only person I think is better is Gronk.
Any chance Travis Kelce, when it's all said and done, is a better tight end than Tony Gonzalez?
I don't think so, because the rules have just put themselves in such a way that I don't know how much we can compare the pass catching numbers today to someone like that. Like, I think Tony Gonzalez is better than him. There's no shame in being a top five tight end of all time. I just think Tony Gonzalez is better than Travis Kelce.
Who are the better rap run, Mike Jones or Ja Rule?
Ja Rule's not even close between those two.
Mike Jones?
Yeah. We kind of let 50 Cent downplay how popular Ja Rule was for a four-year span. After that.
Mike Jones had a nice, well, not 4 years.
No,
but
he had three songs.
He had three?
He had three song tops. He
I can
had
only
three
tell
songs.
You still tipping. T.I. or Master P, who had the better run?
I mean, T.I. was a far superior rapper, but Master P, in terms of...
He made him say, the nine and nine. I mean,
he couldn't rap at all.
The nine and nine.
He couldn't rap, not even a little bit.
Have I told you about the time that I bought the No Limit chain at the Mall of America in Olathe?
I've never heard the story.
Yep, still got it. Found it the other day. Spent $70 on a fake diamond No Limit chain. In fact, I think I'm going to wear it into work on Friday. Casual Friday. That's the time to wear a No Limit chain, right?
It definitely is the time to do so. You're just not going to wear it tomorrow?
No, I'm saving it till Friday.
Okay, makes sense. Yeah. Makes perfect
Casual
sense.
Friday. Flip-flops and a No Limit chain, flat bill hat.
Back again tomorrow. We will have Denny Matthews with his George Brett stories as he would have been celebrating opening day. Have a great day. It's the drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.